This Too Was Love, a Mona Lisa production written and produced by Monique Dunaway. Sound design by Blue Leopard Agency. Episode 1, Ain't No Cable in Brooklyn. This audio drama is a work of fiction. While based on realistic medical scenarios, this series is not a substitute for clinical advice. Always consult with your doctor or a qualified healthcare provider for decisions regarding treatment and care.
I've always been curious about the connection between the sense of smell and Alzheimer's. Harry, he'd always tell me how he couldn't smell. No nasal injury, no brain injury. Even as a kid, he said his sense of smell was mostly gone. Just rare, oddly specific glimpses, then nothing for months, for his whole life. And wouldn't you know, I learned that a missing sense of smell is one of the earliest signs. It was like the Alzheimer's had always been whispering. Before his diagnosis, I used to tell myself I had all the time in the world, and I thought I did. Thought I had time to tell him everything. I remember the day we got the news. It was 2 days before Christmas, 2017. They'd given Harry this darn bell, a gift from the ER staff. A terrible joke, really. By time Christmas morning arrived, I was ready to swallow it just to stop that darn bring, bring, bring. Anyway, I'd been reading the remains of the day for the 100th time, that part where old Miss Kenton's weeping in the dark, and for the life of me, I just couldn't understand why. Why the hell she wanted him so bad. I never understood, but I kept reading it, almost wondering if that's the point to this all. Maybe desire doesn't always come wrapped in reason. Maybe it's just an ache that refuses to be talked out of itself. Every set of footsteps echoing down that hall was a metal hammer on my pulse. And that book, no matter how good.
Dr. Lennox, hi.
Hi, Muriel. How are you?
Dr. Lennox, what exactly do we know?
Muriel, what we know exactly is that Harry suffered a non-life-threatening fall. The bump was not a concussion, just some bruising that should go down in a few days.
That's great. What a relief.
But the MRI did catch something. Given the symptoms you reported, the confusion, the memory loss, the accidental bumps and falls, Harry's scans confirmed significant cortical atrophy, or Alzheimer's. And it's been progressing for a while. This is Harry's brain scan from 3 weeks ago. You see the warmer tones here? Reds, yellows. That's healthy metabolic activity. And these are the scans from today. See how the blue shades are starting to spread? That's where the brain's activity is fading. It's like a night falling over his thoughts. And this final one, Muriel, this is a projection of what his brain will look like in about 6 weeks. At this stage, the brain's degeneration starts signaling other bodily systems to decline as well.
Mm-hmm. Can we do anything to slow it down?
Well, we don't do anything extra. Just be Harry's support like you've always been.
Mm-hmm.
As combative as he was earlier, he's really settled now. He'll be waking up soon. And later today, we'll start him on memantine.
What is the memantine for?
Memantine helps regulate the brain's chemical signals, especially glutamate. At this stage, it won't reverse anything, but it can soften the edges, help Harry stay more present. It gives Harry's brain a quieter room to think in. Muriel, what's that look on your face? Breathe. And speak to me.
All Alzheimer's? Now? All of a sudden? I never got around to telling Harry something very important. Now it's like he won't even understand.
Well, we can't change what's coming. But you can fill the time you have. Laugh with him now. Tell him those stories, the memories, the things he never knew. Be the support you've always been. He might not be able to process it all, Muriel, but he will hear you. And if you're ever going to say it, this is the time.
And he's got no choice but to listen. Harry, honey, you know me better than anybody. You know almost everything about me. But there are things I never told you. Things I held on to, thinking I had all the time in the world to get around to it. I have a friend who's been in my life a very long time. And his name is Granger. We met in the summer of 1963 when we were just 13.
Our predominantly white Strathmore neighborhood was a quiet place where every parent knew every child. So, when the sunburnt, barefoot boy wandered onto our playground...
Excuse me, you don't look like you live around here.
Well, neither do you.
What's your name?
Eddie. Well, what's your name?
It's Muriel. And you don't look like an Eddie.
Whoa, little lady. What's with the stare?
Little lady?
Well, my name is Granger.
Where are you from, Grundy?
No, it's a Granger, like Ranger.
So, why didn't she just name you Ranger?
And you should be asking me why she named me Granger.
You sound funny. I like you.
Well, good. I'm around all summer.
Why?
Why? Well, because we live in Georgia, but my daddy lost his job again. So, we came to live with his sister, my Aunt Rose.
Okay, where's your mom?
Don't even get me started on my mom. Who do you live with?
My parents.
Is your daddy white?
Boy, you looking dead at all this black skin asking if my daddy's white. What kind of fool question is that?
Harry, piano time. Come now, don't make me call you again.
That summer, Granger told me all about his mother's dark history with drug addiction and his father's alcoholism. I confessed the weight of my father making me attend piano lessons, ballet, figure skating, and told Granger all about the boredom of my life. We hoarded away those truths in the long, hot days. Somebody grabbed one of their daddy's beer bottles, half warm, half empty, and passed it around like a dare. The boys took swigs, coughing and laughing. Then someone shouted, "Spin the bottle!" We didn't even know the rules. We just knew we were supposed to feel something.
"Do it, man. It ain't gonna hurt you."
Grundy spun first. It landed on me. Of course it did.
"Well, well, looks like it's me and you, Eddie."
"Granger and Mario sitting in a tree. K-I-S-S-I-N-G.
"All right, all right, shut up."
Someone snapped a photograph with my camera. It broke the spell. The laughter got louder. Then the school buses started running, and the boy from Georgia was gone, just like that. But in 1969, at Max Yazger's dairy farm, in a sea of 500,000 hippies, who do I literally bump into?
"Grundy! What the hell are you doing here?"
"Sidekick? Is that you?"
Woodstock. We were 19, barefoot in the mud, high on music and whatever a dollar could buy us, living it up in the middle of a crowded farm. Back then, nothing in life made sense. But somehow, we did. By 73, I was graduating college. Granger was still my anchor in the quiet, always cheering me on, always supportive. We had slipped away from the celebrations, and I sat on our old swing set at the park as he pushed me.
So, Dad laid it all out. If I can come up with the $250 for the tuition, he'll definitely cover the apartment and my transportation all summer.
What? You gonna leave me?
If I got my hands on $250, I would leave your ass in the dust, Grundy.
Is that right?
What?
No, I'm happy for you, you know? Actually graduating college. Here's 50, 100, 200, 250. There. Make me proud, sidekick.
Boy, where did you even get this?
From your daddy. Nah, I've been saving my checks.
Yeah, but Grundy, you were saving to get yourself out of Syracuse.
Yeah? I guess I'll wait a few more months. Or you'll come back for me.
He was a quiet thing I carried, a friend I never let go of. By 23, Granger had his own place, a cluttered studio apartment a block from Westcott Street, with tools stacked up on a workbench that doubled as a dinner table. Sawdust, metal scraps, and blueprints cluttered the couch.
So, yeah, general contracting by G. Not bad for 6 months, right, Miro?
Wow, Granger, this is real.
Wait, don't catch a photo of those checks. Hell, I still owe the government on some of this money. What about you? That fancy summer program work out? Meet any interesting boys?
The summer program was amazing. Really opened my eyes. And yeah, I met someone.
Okay.
Okay? You gonna ask me about him?
Ah, just glad you're back safe. Just glad my girl's back.
Oh, I can't smoke like I used to.
Yep, those city people changed you.
Maybe. Or maybe it's the guy I'm dating. He has asthma.
Dating. Now that's a new word.
So, are you jealous?
Is he jealous? You're here with me. Besides, I didn't even know black guys got asthma.
Asthma isn't a racial disease, Grundy. Yes, black guys can have asthma too. But he's white.
He's... what?
You heard me right.
And what did your dad have to say?
Well, we'll see next Thursday. Jeff will be in town.
Jeff.
And I invited him over for dinner to meet my family.
You're impossible.
And 6 months after Jeff and I began dating, he had successfully weaseled out of every meeting I scheduled to meet my parents, with every excuse from dead family members to work.
But Jeff, I thought, his concerns? What were they exactly? Because I'm... oh, right. Okay. Yeah, I understand. Sort of. Okay. Bye.
What's wrong? You look like someone kicked your puppy.
It was Jeff. He can't come tomorrow to meet Dad.
And what's his excuse this time? Yes.
What was that?
Oh, no, nothing. Just stretching. My back's been killing me. I bought reinforcements.
I realized Granger was way too happy.
Whoa! What? What was that for? You trying to kill me?
Before I knew it, I had tackled him. He choked on a swallow of beer, and it was everywhere. Beer down his chin, my shirt was soaked, and we just lay there in a puddle of spilled beer in relief until our stomachs hurt. 3 months later, I found myself right back in the dating world. This time, I knew he was different. The first person I had to tell was Granger.
What'd you do, Muriel? Run a marathon?
Grundy, you are not going to believe this. I met a man. A real man this time.
Jesus, Muriel. Your life exhausts me.
You're not the one stressed here.
Okay, who's the lucky guy this week?
The lucky guy that week was Harry. 2 weeks from the diagnosis, we decided Harry wasn't coming home. I finished setting up his two-room suite at the Gramercy residence in the memory care wing. As I told Harry the stories, for a while, it seemed like he heard me. But Harry just kept living in his own time. Things were different, but some things hadn't changed at all.
Hey, baby. I tell you what happened to me last night.
Well, hi there, honey. No, you hadn't told me today what happened to you last night.
Well, you know, ain't no cable in Brooklyn. So is it the closest spot to watch the Knick game without taking a train leaving the projects. And Sellers ain't cheap. After about 30 minutes, Sellers' son come running over tapping me on the damn shoulder. Hey, man, you gotta spend 10 bucks, man. Me and Miguel only got 10 bucks each. Game start at 7:30. I ordered beer first half. I'm sipping on that hand, and it's a slow first half. Beer hot as hell. By halftime, oh my God, shit's miserably hot. And then in the second half, I ordered another. Had already been drinking all day. I'm drinking. I'm like, yo, man. At some point, I'm just like, I don't feel good. I'm like, yo, fellas, something's wrong. And my body was itching. My face was itching and shit. And Sellers runs over finally, looks at me and goes, oh, shit, man, yo, your face is swollen. And it felt like my head was about to explode. I sat outside for a minute, got some water, you know, went back, grabbed some paper towels, wiped my face down, and...
Oh, honey, that's terrible. Your face swelling up like that? Did you make it home okay?
Well, about that time, Al walks in. Said I looked like I needed a beer. So I had another beer with Al. Then I walked home.
Harry, that was a wild ride. Well, tonight, it's just you and I. What do you want to do?